Hi, I'm Ray with another podcast episode, this time about hobbies. Have you got a hobby? Did you have a hobby as a child? Hobbies back in the 1950s, well, early 60s as well. Stamp collecting, fishing, model aircraft, model ships, bird's egg collecting, which of course was bad and is now illegal. There were so many hobbies. Scale electrics a bit later on, Meccano, collecting cigarette packets, collecting matchbox packets, cutting out the matchbox tops, putting them into a scrapbook. Back in the 50s, because steam engines were still prevalent on the railways, there were electric trains about, but every three trains were driven by steam to one electric, I think, back in the 50s. Steam didn't stop till, was it 1967, was it, the last steam engine ran? But of course, every boy wanted to be a train driver. That was the thing, to be a train driver. I don't know why. It seemed to be a glamorous job. It was exciting. It was fun. The drivers would blow the whistle as they went past. They'd wave. It just seemed like a brilliant job. And of course, boys, I went to an all-boys school, and most of my friends there had train sets. I had a train set. We all had train sets. There was a Hornby. Triang. Did Triang make train sets? Mainly, I think it was Hornby train sets. And you could buy diesel engines, electric trains, steam engines, all little electric motors in them, of course, and carriages, coaches, freight trains, trucks. It was fantastic. You could buy signals, little signal boxes, all the models to go with your layout, you know, little houses, little people, a platform, and you buy little cases to put on the platform, suitcases. You could build a complete setup. It was fantastic. I never had a complete setup, unfortunately, but I know many people that did. A friend of mine took me around his house once. He said, come and see my train set. I climbed up the ladder into the attic, and the whole attic, the whole loft floor, was a train set. It was all boarded, and it was a massive, massive train set. It was his dad's, him and his dad. And I just looked in awe at this. He fired it all up and got the trains running. Absolutely fantastic. Electric points, signals that lit up, even the little signal box and the stations had little lights in them. So what he did was he dimmed the lights or switched some dimmer lights on, and it looked like, it was just fantastic. It looked like a miniature village with the railway and cars on the little roads. It was fantastic. I was just absolutely amazed. Another friend of mine went to his place. He had he lived on a private estate, so they had quite a bit of money, and he had this huge room in the house and this massive train set in there. Put mine to shame because mine was only on a little bit of chipboard that, just prop it up against the wall and chuck it on the bed when you want to play trains. But everyone had a train set, or just about everyone. Talking of steam, I had a Mammoth. Do you remember the Mammoth steam engine, little model steam engine that you'd put methylated spirit, little white blocks. They're a bit like barbecue firelighters, but tiny little blocks. You'd put that under the boiler and fill the boiler with water, and it would eventually build up steam. And you give the flywheel a flick, give it a quick spin, and off it would go. And I could sit there for ages watching it, watching this little one-cylinder steam engine whirring away. That wasn't a hobby so much, but that was something. Well, it was part of hobbies, wasn't it? Collecting things, hobbies, steam engines, it was all part of it. I was delighted with my Mammoth steam engine until a friend of mine showed me his. It was a twin-cylinder Mammoth steam engine. I looked at that and, whoa, that was fantastic. Didn't have to spin the flywheel to get it started. Once it built up steam, off it went on its own. Twin cylinder steam engine. I just looked at that. Oh, I wanted one. I never did get one. But I was happy with my little single cylinder Mammoth. That was okay. But a twin cylinder one, even today, I have looked out for them. I've seen one or two, but they are hugely expensive. So that was railways, steam engines, trains. Oh, all fantastic stuff for boys any age really, up to grandfather age really. I know a chap, he's in his 80s, he's got a train set. Stamp collecting was something that I think Every Boy Tried. You could buy these stamp albums, they were cheap. And then from the newsagent's sweet shop or whatever it was, you could buy little packets of stamps. They're only sort of pence, and you get them home, you open your packet. Oh, look, one from Brazil. Oh, there's an African stamp. That's a triangular-shaped stamp. That's interesting. Stick it in your album. And after a while, I remember thinking, after a few months, what is the point? What am I doing here? Why am I collecting stamps? Again, I know a grandfather that started stamp collecting when he was at school, and he's still stamp collecting, and he's got an amazing collection worth a lot of money. But it wasn't something that ever gripped me. It never really interested me. Although I did have a go. I tried. I had my stamp album, and I used to look through it at the various stamps from various countries, and then put it on the shelf and forget about it. Collecting things in those days was something everyone did. From bottled tops, I used to collect cigarette packets. Just about everyone smoked back in the 50s, and you find discarded cigarette packets. Cut the front out, where it said Park Drive or Senior Service, whatever. Cut the front out and stick it in your cigarette packet book. And on the front of the book you write cigarette packets. And matchboxes as well. Cut the top off the matchbox. What was the popular one? Bryant and May, wasn't it? But there were all sorts of manufacturers of matches. And you collect the boxes, cut the top off and stick those in a book. Cigarette cards was another thing to collect. You could buy proper albums for those, proper books with all what they were. Not only football, tennis. I remember tennis back in the 50s. There weren't so many football cards, but there were a lot of tennis and cricket. I don't know, perhaps that shows how things have changed. I don't know. I mean, these days everything's football, isn't it? But then it was tennis and cricket. I could never get on with these Airfix kits, you know, plastic things that you glue together to make an aeroplane or a ship or whatever. I used to get them for Christmas or birthdays from people, relations, and I'd think, oh no, an Airfix kit. You know, I'd have a go at building the things, but I just found it boring. I wasn't the sort to sit at a table for hours gluing little bits together. I wanted to be out doing things. I wanted to be over the woods, climbing trees, doing stuff. There are also balsa wood kits. Do you remember balsa wood? The older people among you will remember. You could build an aeroplane out of balsa wood, and then you'd cover the wings and all the fuselage with like this tissue paper, and then paint it with dope. I remember thinking, dope? That's drugs, isn't it? This dope stuff used to paint on this tissue paper. And again, the chap that got me into that, he was a friend of the family. His dad, his parents were. And he said to me once, we were around his place, he said, let's go and build a model aeroplane. So I thought, OK, it's not really my thing. This is the first time I'd ever seen these balsa wood things. And he said, right, what do you want to start with, the wings or the fuselage? And I thought, fuselage? What's that? So I said, the wings, because I didn't like to show my ignorance and say, what's the fuselage? So anyway, he started building the wings with this balsa wood. That just bored me to tears. I couldn't do that. Fishing. I got into fishing. Now, that was interesting in my teens. I got into fishing. What I loved, a beautiful summer day, early in the morning, you'd sit by the river or the lake. I always preferred lakes because they were still and calm. And you sit there by the lake, trees around you, wildlife. And what I didn't like about fishing was catching fish. Now, that sounds silly, I know, but I didn't like catching fish at all, having to get the hook out of their mouths. And what I really didn't like, if they swallowed the hook and it got into their stomach, you had to use this long rod called a disgorger and try and hook it out of the stomach, and there'd be blood. And oh, I just felt so sorry for the fish. But I loved fishing, so I found a way around the problem. I'd sit there for hours in the sun, just on my own, fishing in the lake, and watching the little float on the water bobbing up and down. And I didn't have to worry about catching fish because I didn't have any bait on the hook. In fact, in the end, I didn't have a hook. I just put a little bit of lead shot where the hook should be just to weight the float down a bit. Fellow fisherman came along and he said, any luck? I said, no, haven't caught anything. He said, well, you've been here a couple of hours. You should have caught something by now. And I pulled the line out, reeled it in. I said, look, that's why I haven't got a hook. And he just said, I remember him looking at me, oh, right. And he wandered off. He probably thought, what sort of fisherman's that? What's he going to catch with that? But I just enjoyed sitting by the river, just relaxing and listening to the birds singing. It was lovely. Sometimes a hobby would lead to a profession. I remember a kid at school, he used to go up to the tip, up the local dump. And in those days, you could wander around and take stuff. They didn't care. And he used to get old bicycles, bicycle frames, wheels, handlebars, complete bikes, take them all home. And he had his dad's garage as his workshop. And what he would do, he'd strip them all down, he'd rebuild them, paint them, and he'd sell them. He'd sell these bikes at school. And a lot of the kids' parents, you know, they wanted to get a bike for Christmas for their son or daughter or whatever. And they'd go and see him. Word got round, oh, you want to go and see so-and-so, he sells bikes. And he actually, when he left school, he opened his own bicycle shop. So that hobby of his led to a profession. Same with another chap at school. He loved metalwork. He was always, you know, in the metal workshop when it was metalwork lessons. He was so keen. He was at the lathes. He was learning, asking questions. I saw him a number of years after I'd left school. He pulled up in a brand new Jaguar outside these shops where I was. And I said, oh, hello, that's a nice car. And he said, yeah. He said, I only just picked that up the other day. And I said, you're doing well then. He had his own engineering company. So his interest, his hobby was metalwork, went on to become his profession. I was always interested in electronics, radio, TV. So of course I went on to do a radio and television apprenticeship when I left school, and I became a radio and TV service engineer. So not as much money as engineering, it seems, because I never had a brand new Jaguar, but not to worry. Meccano. One thing I did like, I didn't like the model aircraft. I liked train sets, but that took up a lot of room. What I loved was Meccano. Now, we had a huge Meccano set, which I think was my father's when he was a child. It was a massive Meccano set with electric motor and everything. And that I loved. I didn't like building cranes and things like that, that you wind up and down. Now, that was boring. I built a gearbox and a clutch, two metal plates, and I had springs and a lever, and I glued onto the plates, I think it was some leather, I cut out leather or something, and that formed the clutch plates, the little lever, you move it backwards and forwards, the clutch plates meet or come apart, and then I had a gearbox, all driven from this electric motor. It took me hours, but that was fantastic, and I was learning. That was the point, I was learning from my hobby. I loved Meccano, I'd like to have a go now, but I think the Meccano set, I think they're still for sale, aren't they? But they're just small sets to build, I don't know, to build one crane or something, which is pretty boring. Back in those days, you had to make your own entertainment. I think that's why there were so many hobbies, because there was nothing on the television. Well, there was Children's Hour between 5 and 6. That was it. The rest of it, I suppose, for kids was pretty boring. No computers, no mobile phones, no social media. What could you do? You had the wireless. There's an old term. Wireless had a very different meaning back then. It was the radio, and it was called a wireless because it was wireless, no wires. Of course, these days you talk about internet and Wi-Fi and wireless stuff. It's all totally different meaning now. But yes, so you had to make your own entertainment. Otherwise, you just sit there bored. There were books, there was the radio, but you wanted something to do. So that's where all these hobbies came in, of course. One thing that I do remember, a chap at school, well, first of all, I was one of four kids, and we each, at the end of the garden, we each had a plot of land, four plots of land, which was good fun. We'd grow things and we'd dig around and look at plants and we'd put seeds in and watch them come up and grow. That was okay. That was something to do. But a chap at school, I remember he took me back to his house once. He said, come and see my garden. I thought, garden? Okay, it was on the way home. It wasn't really out of my way. So I said, okay, you know, what's this garden? And he said, oh, I'll show you my garden. Anyway, we got back to his house. He took me through and out into the back garden. And it was amazing. Beautiful flower beds. It was summertime, I remember that. He had a pond. It was a fantastic garden. It was a professional type garden. It was really amazing. He kept saying, oh, this is my garden. This is my this and my that. And I thought, well, why does he keep saying my? Because, you know, obviously it was his dad's. It wasn't. He showed me some photographs. He showed me some photographs of what it was like. His parents weren't at all into gardening. And it was just like a field. Just rough grass and weeds everywhere. He had landscaped the entire garden on his own. He actually left school and went to work in a nursery where they sold plants and that sort of thing. And he ended up opening his own nursery. So there we are. That's another case of a hobby becoming a profession. Do kids have hobbies these days? I don't know. I'm not sure whether they have hobbies or not. I think a lot of kids haven't even got a bicycle. There aren't any matchboxes around or cigarette packets anymore, hardly any. I don't suppose that would be exciting anyway for them. There's so much else going on, I think that's the thing. I mean, I know someone that's into sailing. There's another one that likes cricket. That's his hobby, is always playing cricket. I suppose there are hobbies around, but totally different. I can't somehow see children these days sitting there with a stamp album and carefully with tweezers putting their stamps into the album. I just don't think... I mean, there must be some children that do that. I'm sure there are. I think going back to the old days where we all collected stamps, we all had a stamp album, that's just gone, hasn't it? Cigarette packets, as I say, there aren't any now, or matchboxes, or hardly any. So what are the hobbies now? Various things, I suppose, on the computer, on social media. Perhaps that's progress. There we are. I don't know. I often wonder about progress. Is it good or bad? I suppose some things are good. The internet, someone said to me a little while ago, it's such a shame the internet's full of all these bad things. And I said, yes, but that's a very small percentage, isn't it? I'm always looking things up on the internet. It's a wealth of information. It's fantastic. You can look up anything. I was looking up about geraniums. Make you laugh, I know. I do like gardening. I was looking up about geraniums and about overwintering them. What do you do with them in the winter? We've got them on a table under the patio roof. And it says there, you can find all the information. Cut them down by about a third so they bush out when they start growing again. Don't wet them. Just make sure the roots are moist, but don't soak them. All this information about geraniums. Fantastic. I also look up things about radios. If I want to know something about certain frequencies, I tune into a station on shortwave. And think, what's that station? I type the frequency into Google or wherever. Up it comes. Oh, that's radio so-and-so from wherever. You know, fantastic mine of information. Not that that's got anything to do with hobbies, of course. There were a lot of hobbies, loads that I haven't mentioned, but that just gives you an idea, I think, of what kids did. Train spotting, writing down train numbers. I remember buying a platform ticket for a penny. That's the old penny. And you'd stand on the platform for hours, jotting down numbers of trains, names of steam engines. That, again, as I say, you had to make your own entertainment. Spotting car numbers and writing them down. That you couldn't do that these days. There are so many millions of cars. But back then, there weren't that many cars. So you'd write down the car numbers. I never did quite see the point of that, but there were, three or four of us that we used to go and stand or sit on a garden wall somewhere with our pads and pencils and we'd write down car numbers. Not quite sure what the point of that was, but it whiled away the time, I suppose, on those long, hot summer days that I remember. And people say they didn't really exist. The winters were good. We had snow and everything. The summers were long and hot. But, of course, all that's in imagination, isn't it? It didn't really happen that way. It rained all the time. There we are. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Don't worry about the rain. Soon be spring. We've got Christmas coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So, hope you've enjoyed the podcast episode. Look out for the next one, and I'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.